take a couple minutes to go over the minutes from last meeting, make sure everything is. Any comments?
First, you have a letter from Steve Rump regarding the site distances. Wasn't it approved for them to put the driveway onto the town road? There's nothing really, I mean, it has to do with site distances too, but it also has the town has the right to approve if they can put the driveway basically connected to the town road.
Is that the Harold Myers one?
Yes.
Yeah, we did approve that. He said that was on the straight of it.
Yeah, but we have, Stephen has to give a letter stating he approves then putting the driveway, connecting the driveway to the town road. Is he supposed to do that?
We need that letter before approval, or is it just as a condition of approval?
It's a condition.
As a condition of approval?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we have to decide those things to do with this or not.
Well, Stephen's, before they put the driveway in, he's going to have to okay it.
I believe he's supposed to.
Okay, so we have decided he's going to do it or something else. Then.
Well, that's
going
part
to do
of
it.
The job requirement.
Okay,
he's
I thought that was
it.
A question. Yeah.
Well, what is Stephen's?
No, the question with Brisky Herb was whether he was going to give us a letter to do with site distances.
Right, that's what I'm talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah, which he agreed to do.
He did. Okay.
Yeah.
Letter from Stephen Hunter.
But he still has to okay the curb cut.
Right.
Yeah. Anything else? Any other changes? Okay, then can I get a motion to approve the minutes?
Make a motion.
Second? Okay, all those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion is carried. And so, minutes are approved. All right. Elliot? We started off the public hearing months ago. On Deschene. In June, we carried the public hearing forward, but at that point in time, I don't think I had you go up and make any presentation to the public at that point in time. You weren't at last month's meeting. So what I'm going to ask you to do it now, if you would, is just sort of give an overview, take us from where we started and where we are now with the project.
Why is that stuff in the way?
Where's all the cereal?
Hang on a second, let's move.
Is that part of the job description?
Those are the towns, those are the files, we found them.
Is that considered out of title one?
Put that in paper, some files have been
found. Count case.
It's out of title work.
There's no burn marks on it.
You can't get a count that.
The locks are broke off.
My name's Ellie Fishman, I work with Santo Associates. Mr. Deshane is proposing on his 15.871 acre parcel along Route 32. It's about 700 or so feet north of Ross Rulon Road on the west side of 32. He's proposing to develop approximately 2.5 acres to primarily park logging trucks that are part of his business, as well as to do some wood processing, which basically constitutes taking stumps and wood tops and grinding them into the base product for wood pellets. He's only doing the grinding. That product will be moved off site to be developed by another entity. So we show on this parcel a looped driveway that will accommodate his trucks. The truck parking is in this area. He plans a small office, approximately 24 by 28 feet, and car parking to service an office, and also a potential future garage to maintain his trucks. We show wood piles here, which will be the raw materials prior to grinding, as well as the piles of ground up stumps, etc., which were put here to aid in the noise abatement off the site. To the rear of the property, which is to the west, there's approximately a 40 or 50 foot rise in elevation. There's an existing stand of white pine trees. Mr. Deshane is proposing a second row of pine trees along Route 32, as well as a double row of pine trees along this area, which can be viewed from the north. There's a small stormwater detention basin that is planned to basically capture all the runoff that occurs post-development that wasn't there pre-development. And that's going to be outletted into an existing drainage course that runs off-site. We've done soils analysis as far as sewage disposal. We've done site distance analysis in terms of the driveway safety. And we've prepared a stormwater pollution prevention plan, which is required by DEC when you disturb more than an acre of land. That's a basic summary of the project. If anyone has any questions, I'd be glad to try to answer them.
Any questions from the public? Any comments?
Can I?
Yes.
They're not really questions. Well, maybe they are questions. The first is I am EWOL tonight. Sorry. So EWOL foiled a bunch of information, and one of the things he received was this memo from Delaware Engineering to the Planning Board. And on the last page, the site plan review recommendations were redacted. And he asked me why that might be, and I'm not sure why that might be, because in terms of client attorney confidentiality, once something is shared with other people, it's not considered confidential anymore. And this was shared with Mr. Fishman, Carl Whitbeck, and John Duchesne. The planning board is the client, so therefore it shouldn't be confidential information anymore. So he was hoping to get what those recommendations were. He's also getting a FOIL from DEC, and he said there is a January 12, 2009 notice of violation letter to the site owner. There's a February 9th memo from Val Duchesne, which I assume is his wife, to DEC concerning the property, the plans for the property. A May 25th letter from Santos Associates concerning the proposed business plans, and a July 13th letter, or email, which is a response. So I'm requesting that Mr. Duchesne supply those documents for the planning board, as well as the original violation, which I don't know if he may have given you already.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
You're requesting that Mr. Duchesne provide us with the documents?
Yes, from DEC, because it was asked whether or not there was any correspondence with DEC, and he did say that he received a certified letter from DEC, but these are other correspondence from DEC that are, you know, applicable to the site, and I'm sure the planning board would be interested to know what DEC interests are and what Mr. Duchesne told DEC. So, although you all foiled them, it may take a little while for him to get, I assume Mr. Duchesne has them and can provide them in a much more speedy manner.
Okay.
And the other thing is, as of Sunday, yes. Yes.
Okay.
As of Sunday, I believe you corresponded with Ewell and said there were no other documents other than his FOIL. I don't believe he has that map, which means it would have come in within the, yes, no? Map?
Which map are we talking about?
The one that's up there.
Yeah, but what's the date on it?
May 15th.
Oh, okay. So that's not new. Did any documents come in within the 10-day period prior to the planning, prior than the meeting tonight?
From Elliot?
Well, from the project sponsor, or Elliot, or...
I got a letter, an email with a letter attached from Elliot at like 5 o'clock this afternoon.
Okay, so I'm requesting that the public meeting be held open so that the public have a chance to retain that document.
Right, no, the public hearing's not going to be closed.
Okay.
And in answer to your question with respect to FOIL, I think I wrote on my cover memo to Ewald along with... I think it was along with the FOIL that he got, the hard copy. Memorandum from Mary Beth Bianconi of Delaware Engineering PC dated July 23rd, 2009 regarding her review of materials submitted to the planning board. Redacted to the extent that the comments made therein, which are not statistical or factual tabulations or data, and which are not final agency policy or determinations, and which are not instructions to the staff that affect the public, have been removed pursuant to Public Officers Law, Article 6, Section 87, 2G, I through IV. Now, to the extent that Ewald was arguing that the materials should be made public because they went from Delaware Engineering to Santo Associates, the act of one engineering firm sending documents to another engineering firm is not within public document purview. If they decide to send documents back and forth between themselves, they don't become public documents.
No, that's not what I was suggesting. What I was suggesting that breaks the confidentiality barrier.
We're not arguing confidentiality. We're just arguing that it's not, they're not statistical or factual tabulations data, final agency policy determinations and instructions to the staff that affect the public. That's the exemption that
okay.
I put forward.
He did speak to Bob Freeman today concerning it, and Mr. Freeman couldn't see any reason why it should be redacted because it's not exactly interagency you know, if it is something that the public would want to look at to, and it should be made, it will be made public eventually.
It will be made public eventually, I'm sure, because we're going to end up going over it in the meeting if we accept the recommendations.
Right. But I think that's the point, is that nobody can comment on the recommendations before you go over them or to give input. And the confidentiality was the only thing that I could think of as a reason to redact it.
Okay. Well, that was our position with respect to Mary Beth's memo. And
He can write and get an official opinion.
Sure, and he can file the appeal with the records access, whoever the appeal officer is.
But talk to him about it, and that's what he said, that he didn't see any reason.
There was also issues he wrote about the public hearing, and he intertwined the fact that with the public hearing and it was open and they should comment on it. When you look at the way this thing has played out, though, and you look at our site plan law and the way you wanted to interpret it, it is that this public hearing shouldn't even be taking place at all. So to use the argument of the public hearing in one way, saying it shouldn't even be taking place, but yet using it in this way, it seems like it's being used on both sides of the argument.
I'm not trying to use it in two different ways. I'm trying to deal with it the way it is.
Right.
You know, and this is reality, so I'll go with the flow. It's here, so we'll work with it the way it is. But I have my own opinion.
At the point of Ewald's FOIL request, it was my opinion that that paragraph fell into that exemption. Now, certainly as we move forward in the process, that exemption may become null and void because we're going to discuss it in public, and then certainly we'd release it under FOIL. But until it becomes part of our final determination, where we use it in our deliberations in public, then I'm not going to disclose it.
So,
that's all.
But you might be doing it tonight, and then it would be
very well
at the time.
Very well could be. I don't know how far along we are, but we could be. Okay. On to Shane.
I from Delaware Engineering suggested that we show a map of the general area that Mr. Deshane is proposing to develop. Mr. Deshane's parcel is right here. And we looked at an approximately 6,300-foot stretch of New York State Route 32 from the southern town boundary north, and we looked at all the properties that front against New York State 32 and what their property classifications were. And what we found that 7 of the 26 properties were classified residential, which constitutes about 27% of the 26 properties. So I guess the other classifications were commercial, municipal, vacant, and lots that front on 32 but were accessed from other roads. Now I guess the point we tried to illustrate by doing that was, you know, at 27% of the total properties, it could be argued that it's not a residential neighborhood that Mr. Deshane's project is being proposed in.
Elliot, I'm sorry, I didn't catch how many feet you
said. 6,300.
When you say that you would include properties that properties that front on 32 but have driveways on other roadways?
Yes. For instance, this property here. this is Joel on Lawson Road. This is 32. The house is here and the driveway is here.
Have you done a survey north of the town line?
This is all north of the town
line.
The nearest residential property was here. It's approximately 700 feet away from the area where the
nearest house is located about 700 feet from where you anticipate the grinding to take place, or the property borderline.
Right.
Which is it, the house or the borderline?
The house.
The house.
From the area where the grinding is proposed.
Right.
You just took that to the town line, 6,300 feet?
Yeah.
You didn't look at what the town line south is, where Catsville's got it zoned it down there?
No, we didn't.
I would imagine commercial, and there's got to be 20 businesses on that stretch.
No, that's commercial.
Oh, you do? Do you want to ask? Oh, yeah, there is.
There's the first commercial is Gallagher's Garage, which hasn't been open since he went to jail.
The first commercial from there is Gallagher's Garage?
Well, at least he's talking.
The old Gallagher.
No.
Oh.
The one that's closed place. Down, John's Place.
We got mics, then we have a bunch of them there. Okay. But you got some nice houses.
Actually, have the shoe patch?
The shoe store used to have some for sale right now.
Do they sell shoes out
there? They used to. 20 years ago.
What shoes they were. I ended up 5 o'clock wanting those shoes on.
Okay, any other questions from the public? Any comments? Okay, then we'll adjourn this. Public hearing. Okay, took out this. That won't be good. American Dojo.
I came prepared. I've seen this documents before. So I came prepared, and I'll probably wind up regretting this. I'm going to try it this way.
Oh, look at those.
Okay. There. Okay. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Bob Hansen. I'm from the American Dojo, just south of the light on 32. Basically, what we're planning on doing, it's the old Vans restaurant, for those of you who may recall that. It's definitely seen better days. The ceilings are low. The insulation in the ceilings is only 4 inch. It was never really designed for winter use and winter heating. It's leaking. It's a flat roof. I could spend the rest of the evening here. With problems that it has. So what we're planning on doing is the building sits down here. I've shown it, actually, I have another one if you want to see where it is now. But we're removing that building and basically this building behind it. It's a nice simple, okay, maybe not so simple in my eyes, but it's a simple process. We're putting in a 7,200 square foot Morton building, basically. And that's it. I mean, it just sets back off the road further. It gives us the opportunity to basically just dress it up. I mean, honestly, the building has seen better days, and it's just so much money and so much effort to put into it to wind up with something that's still going to come fall short of our needs. So that's basically the project in a nutshell.
Any comments or questions from the public regarding the Dojo's proposal of a new building on their property? No? Okay, then we will adjourn this public hearing at this time until later.
Less than 5 minutes.
Thank you.
Dragonflies.
We don't have any big pictures or anything.
Do you have any little pictures?
I just thought this.
Lots of little pictures.
If you don't have any pictures, I do have a note from Luann Hart, the bookkeeper. $50 in escrow.
Right.
The notice was 1958 in the newspaper, and the certified midpoint was 33.66. You owe us $2.50.
And how would you like that?
In cash. No, I mean, seriously.
Careful with it.
Do you have your checkbook here?
No, but it's a short walk.
You say $2.80.
$2.80.
Sure, do you can give us cash.
Okay.
We've got to get a credit card machine.
Or something.
I was never told there was one.
Yeah.
Okay, so then we need a checkbook.
Okay. Yeah, make it two separate checks.
Two separate checks, not a problem.
Yeah.
Okay. I can send somebody to the building.
Okay.
But the only photos that we have are the small things that you guys are seeing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'd be fine. I mean, this is the last time I've done this.
That's it. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm Rita Carver. This is my husband, John. We're Dragonfly Performing Arts, for those of you that don't know, although I think about half of you here are supporting us. We do things small. So if you look at this, we are facing north at the top of the page. The blue outline is the building which was originally Morton's General Store and then Robert's Department Store and most recently an antique center. And what we are looking to do is a change of use from mercantile to public assembly so that we can actually have performances and hold classes in the space. It is absolutely large enough to do that, and we are just asking for the go-ahead on the change of use so that we can start getting seats in there and be able to hold our fall classes and all of our performances. We have addressed issues regarding parking in terms of the number of parking spaces that are on Main Street, as well as how many spaces are in the municipal lot, the park and ride. There are several business owners on Main Street who have offered us the use of their parking lots after hours. So all of the parking issues have been dealt with in terms of the number of people that would be able to come to a performance based on our seating capacity and how many parking spots are available.
To explain just about the signage that you're going to put up.
Yes, the store currently has a marquee up front that is sort of a burgundy wainscoting. On either end of it, there are fluorescent light boxes that are existing. They are there, they work. They at some point had signage on them, and we are looking to put a sign on either end of the marquee that would basically be our logo, which is, thank you, honey, on the back of his t-shirt. And that would go on either side of the marquee onto these existing light boxes. So again, it is not a change of the structure of the building. There are no structural changes that we need to do. It is simply putting a fascia back onto those light boxes, and any of the internal work to the building would be done through the buildings department and building permits and so forth.
Okay, any questions from anybody in the public about what they're proposing for the old department store? Okay, we'll adjourn the public hearing.
Thank you.
Salenza.
Hi. I like the tape. I've been fretting all day about that.
You're borrowing, huh? I see you're borrowing.
I'm Rachel Samuels. I'm here on behalf of Bob Eilenberg, the surveyor, who represents John and Louise Salenza, who are proposing to subdivide their 5.396-acre lot in the Bowery Creek subdivision, subdivided into two lots, of equal 2.698 acres. And this is where the existing residence is. This is where the proposed residence will be.
Is that the log cabin?
Log cabin. I'm not familiar with the log cabin.
That existing structure.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
The well for the existing residence is there, and 100 feet is where the proposed well will be. The proposed tile field is here. I received the engineer's report today, and it says that a raised or fill system will be required.
The lake's in front of the house, right?
I have the, as requested, I have the Bower Creek subdivision map with me.
You're good.
And
you're good.
Thank you.
Yeah, we do.
Does anyone have any questions? I brought the deed into, yes, the deed and the declaration of restrictions and covenants, which allows for re-subdivision into parcels of 2 acres or more.
Yeah.
No, I don't know what we will.
It does allow for.
It does allow explicitly, yes. Yeah. And in reviewing the rest of them, I didn't see anything else that affected this parcel. Any questions from the board or from the audience?
Could we ask for underlying maps as well? Underlying maps.
Yes. I did request that. I brought the Bower Creek subdivision map.
You did.
Yes.
Okay. Any questions from the public regarding the Solensis subdivision proposal? Okay, then we will adjourn that as well.
Thank you. Anyone else for the tape?
She should have all, that should be all this. We won't go forward. Elliot? Okay. You're up with the chain.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We're going to let our public hearing.
She gets
the official one, but I want one for me.
Can we get it back?
No, this is for me. Stick the official one in the file. Okay. How do you want to do this? You want to just go? This is what I anticipate is going to happen tonight. We're going to have to forward the EAF to the other involved agencies for them to reply.
Right.
So that's going to take 30 days.
Right.
That's going to go beyond the February 2nd meeting date. September 2nd. What is September 2nd meeting date? What I've already checked with the town. September 14th is a Monday night. That's open. Tal is available that night. I'd like to schedule a special meeting on September 14th. By that time, we'll have all the replies, if any, that we get back from the other agencies with the seeker issue. And we can go through the EAF at that time and make a determination of significance.
Okay.
Okay?
Appreciate that.
That way, we won't be doing it a long, regular meeting. We'll make it, that's a special meeting to deal simply with this project.
Okay.
Because that's going to take a while. That's going to take a while. And if not, great.
I'd like to take a minute and address the board here.
Sure.
I've been in front of you now since January, and I feel it very unethical with Janet speaking on behalf of her husband with her background as a councilwoman. I think that should be stricken. If her husband wanted to make points, it would have been fine, but I see other people coming up and their projects are getting pushed through. And this is just, I mean, going on and going on and going on. And where is the end to it?
Can I reply to that?
No.
No.
No. You may not.
As just being, you know, an owner of this property.
The public hearing remains open because we have to keep it open. Okay. We have an option. Actually, we have two options. I can close the public hearing, but then we will have to do another public hearing when your application is deemed complete, which wouldn't occur until we go through the checklist and we find that all the materials that are required are submitted. Whether we like them or not is immaterial, just that you've actually given us everything that's required. And we either have a negative declaration on seeker or we have a positive declaration, and then you guys provide us with a draft environmental impact statement. But until that time, you know, we have to keep the public hearing open. Now, once we get, that being said, once we get to the point of a completed application, we're going to re-notice the meeting to your surrounding neighbors. Well, there's case law that says that it should be re-noticed. For the $35 or $40 that it will cost you to send out the letters again announcing the public hearing, why put yourself in a position to just have that open with respect to litigation if we don't do it? Who knows? It just doesn't make any sense to me. And considering the fact that by rights, well, this thing has been going on, and there is an argument to be made. Like I said, there is case law that says that it should be re-noticed if it goes on. If it had opened before it was finalized and then finalized, it should be re-noticed. So I think to avoid any problems with us as far as adequate notice of the public hearing, I think we just have to send out the letters and put the notice in the newspaper again.
So when are you planning on doing that?
Once the application is deemed complete.
And you can't deem it complete until after you do seeker?
And we can't deem it complete until after we do seeker, and that's...
So there's no chance it's going to end on September 14th?
No.
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 And I just want to say, Mr. Deshane,
however, if it ends on September, if we have a negative declaration on September 14th, we have plenty of time to notice the meeting for
first
October,
meeting,
the first meeting on first Wednesday in October.
Okay. Well.
But I can't do it on September 14th and then have the meeting because we don't know. What if we come up with a positive declaration? And then you have to do a draft EIS. I mean, or we have some sort of conditional negative declaration. I mean, I want to put the cart before the horse here, but we got to get through the long form before we do anything with noticing the public hearing.
Mary Beth, from what I read from her memo, said that the application was complete except for the few items she mentioned in her memo.
What she said was that we should deem the application complete, and we can't do that because we don't have seeker.
Okay.
So we have to disregard that recommendation of hers. It just doesn't apply.
I just want to know as early as possible if there are things other than seeker determination
sure.
that you're aware of.
Sure.
so that we don't come on September 14th and you say, you know, we don't have something.
That's a fair request.
That is a fair request.
That's a very fair request.
Absolutely. Okay. With respect to your comment, my comment back is that Janet is a member of the public, and she has a right to say whatever at the public hearing portion of the meeting, whether we, you, or anybody likes it or not.
And just like to add, too, that, you know, as far as, I know you came in January, but some projects are more complicated than others. You have to realize that. So we're not pushing through some and not pushing through others. Some go through sooner just because they're very straightforward, and some are not.
And the other issue with January is your proposal in January was substantially different than what it is now. You changed it all around in April and did the wood processing thing. Yeah, so from our point of view, it starts, the clock started
John, I understand your frustration, but if it's not done right at this point, whether it's a negative, positive deck, whether you get your permit or not, do you want to continue this? I don't want to see litigation. I don't think anybody on this board does. I mean, this benefits you as much as your neighbors and everybody else, that we get this process done so you can build if you're approved once you walk out of here. And I mean,
well, October 1st. You have to take all the necessary steps to make that happen. Everything that you put forward, we're looking to address. That's what we're trying to do here to move forward.
Assuming a negative declaration on September 14th, we have the public hearing October whatever it is.
Sixth.
And your application is deemed complete, before we have the public hearing. Assuming that, we could, in October, if everything is right, vote on preliminary approval. Now, I'm not promising anything, and I'm not saying that's the way it's going to go, but that's the earliest it could possibly happen on preliminary approval.
And it could possibly
be the October 6th.
And it could
possibly. But everything, you know, it would have to be a negative declaration. We'd have to find your application is complete. Then we'd have the public hearing, and depending on what happens at the public hearing, then you know, like you are tonight, come back to the board and we discuss it, and we could vote up or down on the preliminary application October. But that would be the absolute earliest it could possibly take place. And like I said, I want to make it very clear, I'm not promising anything, and I'm not saying that's the way it's going to go. That's just the most favorable timeline that it could be. And then we'd have to deal with a final
We're here to follow through with the process.
Right.
We're here to follow through with it.
Does anybody have any issues with the checklist that they know of that's outstanding at this point in time?
No.
Let's go through it so we
see if we have anything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm gonna go through this, Elliot, and you know, I'm sure North Arrow scale and date are on the maps. Boundaries are plotted to scale, location, size, and existing use of buildings on premises is taken care of. Location and ownership is identified. Location name and width of all existing public streets and easements. Do we have that?
The width? No.
Okay, we have that.
Yes.
Okay. Location width and idea of rights of way, easement setbacks, reservation areas dedicated to public use or on or adjoining the property. Grading and drainage plans we have, or you know if there's going to be any updates to that, the SWIP plan or anything like that, or you good to go?
We haven't gotten married by this time, so I couldn't tell you for sure.
She did, didn't he get? No, that's right, she didn't look at this whip yet, did she? Okay. All right, so erosion and sediment, we're waiting on. Location, design, type of construction, and exterior dimensions. The only comment I had about that was this. You're proposing that this building be built, I don't know how long in the future we talk about, a year, 2 years, the office? You've given us a general overview, a general picture of what the building's going to look like. But normally we require much more concrete plans on the applicant's part.
From an architect?
Yep.
Well, actually, like we had with Maggio, he just came in with the board's elevations. I mean, a lot of times you just take elevations from some company that's going to design it, simply an architect or a...
He did that and that. He gave you a photograph.
Do we know that the, all right, for the sake of argument, you know the guy's going to be in business in 2 years, if you're going to buy the place from, or are we going to, you know, is it not even going to be available when you go to build it?
Well, that's something that you can't really ever say.
Yeah.
Right.
They
tomorrow,
say that.
They'd be out of business.
All right.
I mean, you need, then Big Top hasn't built their building yet. We should say, well, you can't build it until you're actually ready to buy it. I mean, you're not even what building's going out.
So we don't.
We're saying
it's
going
to be stick built anyway.
Okay, so we don't. You don't. Nobody believes that there is an issue with the fact that, or with the thought that the description of is everybody feel that the description of the office building is sufficient. What he's provided to us is sufficient.
It's just a generic building, basically.
Dimensions are there.
I mean, you have a sketch of it, right?
Yeah.
Give us a sketch so we can take a quick look at it now.
I believe we have it.
You have it. I just didn't know whether everybody felt that it was
fresh from memory.
Sufficient.
You know, I think in 2 years when he builds a maintenance building, if he builds a permit, then you have an enforcement issue.
I honestly think the size and color is really what matters at this point.
There's
like a
white
sheet.
The impact is. All I see is the screen. The squares on the plans, and then it's up to enforcement to what's going in here.
It's a safe.
We're not getting into that. That's it here.
She goes nice to my house.
Is it efficient?
It's a 4.0 of color rendering.
These were the lights that were going on the maintenance building, weren't they?
No. That one was on the office building. On the front door.
In the alcove area? Porch area?
Yeah.
And then this was the maintenance building, huh? Okay. Gross floor area is on there. Proposed division. Separate occupancy. We don't have that. Hours of operation we have. Design type of construction. We have design location of all parking and truck loading areas. You have provisions for pedestrian access. There is none. Location of outdoor storage and solid waste disposal. We have that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Has his materials, and he has his materials involved in the wood processing. Construction materials, site improvements, location, including drains, culverts, retaining walls, and fences. It's on plan.
Yeah, it's in the stormwater pollution prevention.
Okay. Method of sewage disposal and location. You get the feel. The well. Yeah. Fire lanes, emergency zones. So that really doesn't apply. I don't think. Energy generation. Doesn't apply. Location. proposed signs. Are you having any signs involved with this? Is it on the site plan? Okay. Location of all buffer areas. You've got that on the site plan. Location, design, and existing proposed outdoor lighting facilities. Besides on the building, any driveway lights or anything like that? No utility poles with lights. Okay. Landscaping and planting schedule. We've got structures, identification of structures and uses on adjacent lands. We've been through that. Identification of any permits from any governmental bodies required. You're going to end up with an argument between her whether you need this industrial permit or not, right? I mean, she seems to think you do. Mary Beth. She seems to think you do, and your letter here said that you spoke to someone.
Is that what you got from her memo?
Hmm?
Is that what you got it from her memo?
Well, she talked to me, and she said that the multi-sector, the proposed land use may require a multi-sector permit. So she's saying it may require the use of a multi-sector permit. You're saying it does not.
I'm saying we looked into it, and that was the determination. Yeah.
From Crawford and Associates?
Yeah. But
when
I go through my letter, I hope to make the point.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we'll wait on that. Estimated project construction schedule and cost. Do we have that?
It's in the application.
Seeker, EAF, we have that. Elevation facade treatments, we have that. Any pertinent natural features, we have that. Vicinity map, we have that. Other items required by the planning board, we didn't have any. Certain projects, meaning traffic report, visual impact report, and stormwater management plan. Those are, I guess, three areas that we haven't discussed yet, whether we need a traffic report, a visual impact report, where we've got the SWIP. So
can we get the standard site distance evaluation that the DOT requires?
On the traffic report?
Yeah.
Okay. And the visual impact report?
We added the second row of trees per the planning board's request.
Right, which would
put the piles up to further block.
Isn't there an addendum to the EAF that has to do with visual impact?
An addendum? There's a, if you determine it's significant, I think. Not on the top of a hill to be seen by all of Carroll.
If, in our opinion, we believe that the project could have a traffic, visual, or stormwater impact, you submit a visual impact assessment prepared by a registered landscape architect or other qualified professional and include visually illustrate and evaluate the relationship of proposed new structures or alterations to nearby natural landscapes and pre-existing structures in terms of visual character, intensity, scale of use. an analysis of the visual impacts on neighboring properties from the proposed development and alterations, and the location and configuration of proposed structures, parking areas, open space, and gradient changes, and a site plan rendering. So basically, I guess it boils down to whether the board feels that we should require such a thing or not, based upon your project. Whether we feel it's necessary.
Which is true for every site plan.
Which is true for every site plan, but we haven't gone through this law that many times that we've ever actually, I don't think, gotten to the whole visual impact report part, because we really haven't had any projects that would, to this point, seem to require it.
And this isn't one, I'll tell you that.
I don't know, we should be worried about her, the view of the Bowling Hotel and Spielberg next to it.
Well,
what is
one of the arguments being proffered by Ewald is that the site would damage the rural and visual scenery of the town of Cara.
Of Route 32.
Of the town, the nature of the town of Cara, where the site is rural, scenic, residential or vacant open land, and to plop a industrial use right there,
it's
would
not
damage
an oil refinery.
But it is an industrial use, though. It's classified as an industrial use.
Light industrial.
So light industrial, understood. But to plop this use, this site there, is wrong as it relates to Carroll's comprehensive plan and the openness and the way that, you know, the way the town
they
should look.
They weren't talking about
so
Route 32 remaining open space.
That's the argument that's being put forth, and all I'm saying is,
well, just because people are putting forth arguments that have no merit doesn't mean you should check my client to a $10,000 visual impact study.
Well,
I agree with Ellie.
We have to obviously have to take a vote on the
board.
I
agree with Ellie. Is any then even the karate place should dragonfly?
Well,
I mean, it's going to be
no more
higher than that cliff behind there, are you?
No.
It's more buffer than the building across
the
street.
I mean, most of the time you just have trucks parked there. I mean,
what we have to do on the board here is we have to have a reasoned talk and elaboration on why we are or why we are not going to do
right.
it. Okay, that's all I'm saying.
Okay.
We have to discuss it. We have to come to a consensus.
Yeah.
So we have to be reasonable about it, so that if there's some sort of challenge in the future, we can say, no, we took a look at it. We reasoned that these were our reasons for not doing it, or these were our reasons for doing it. And we have something to say about why we chose what we did. That's all I'm saying. Because if there's a challenge, we want to be able to say, no, this is why, we did our deliberations on this matter. We considered it, and we decided not to. Fair enough?
He's right.
You're right to bring that up.
So we need to discuss it now, for him?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I want to get it out of the way now.
This
is
what I said before. Why do we want to? Just cover the bases.
Well, there are people in town. I mean, Ewald.
Right, and that's what's
front and foremost, who are arguing that this will have a negative visual impact on the 32 gateway, if you want to put it that way, into the town of Cara. That it doesn't fit with the comprehensive plan.
See, I ain't big on the comprehensive plan, okay? Because you read that comprehensive plan.
We're not here to argue with the
comprehensive plan. No, wait a minute. No, we're discussing, okay? The comprehensive plan really mentions nothing about where is commercial, where is non-commercial, okay? It talks about forestry and stuff like that. It talks about living in the past. I'm really not big on the comprehensive plan, okay? So, and it's not binding, okay? It's not a binding...
No, but what is binding is that our land use laws, the site plan law, the subdivision law, they have to reflect the comprehensive plan. If we haven't adopted a comprehensive plan in town, and we do, then our laws have to go along with that comprehensive plan. They can't go against it. It's the law's not, you're right, it's not binding, but our site plan law has to follow the comprehensive plan, which is why in the site plan law it makes multiple references, and a lot of the language is taken right from the comprehensive plan when you talk about it, when you read the two of them together. So if we don't look at the visual impact,
no, we should look at it.
Then we're not doing what we should be doing.
Well, the visual impact really, he has the row of trees blocking the view. He's going to put his material out there to block the view. The only thing you're really ever going to see is the truck garage. And as you drive down 32, how many Morton-style buildings do we have in Carroll? Especially on 32.
Yeah, one across the street.
Yeah. So therefore, I mean, where do we determine, you know, we can say, okay, well, now where are we going to stop saying, okay, you can't build this no more? You know, without getting into the comprehensive plan, they give us a set of rules to go by, but they didn't give us any place particularly where they got to go.
Yeah, also,
which is the zoning issue,
too. There's also a lot of gray.
Yeah, gray areas.
They use the word gray, but a lot of the focus, a lot of the burden placed on the planning board is your interpretation of comprehensive plan. So basically, we need to sit down here and figure out what that is going to be,
right,
and if this property fits into the mold of what the flavor of the comprehensive plan was intended for. I mean, and we got to take into consideration the building across the street, a few dumps around it. I mean, we have to.
Unsightly.
We do.
I'm sorry, I used the wrong word.
You can use whatever works.
You're using your lingo.
I mean, in all fairness to John and everybody else, I mean, I'm sure most of us agree here that John's building, most likely, if it's going to go anywhere, it's may not sound prejudiced, surprised, or not, just being real, is where he's planning on siting it. But in all fairness to every citizen in this town, and Ewell especially, let's discuss it, let's cover all the bases, and if we come to that conclusion, so be it, we vote on it.
And we don't necessarily have to vote tonight.
Okay, I mean, we don't, but in all fairness to John, too, because it's a shame, because he has been here, and we have our issues back and forth. But I think we should vote on it and cover another base. I'm sorry.
If we do have to look at it, we're going to require a visual impact. I mean,
well, we certainly do.
Yeah.
I wouldn't not want to, so this comes back. I'm sorry. And I don't mean to sound like I'm the applicant, but everybody's talking about the planning board. I'd like to see if this passes, if it's done right by us. It's a nice piece of property. It's on the tax rolls. Everybody's happy. That's my opinion on the matter.
Why would you not do it tonight?
I'm not saying we wouldn't.
You got to calm down. You really
I don't. To
be. He's edgy.
I'm not saying we wouldn't do it tonight.
Al's quiet.
We don't have to
do it tonight.
You know, I don't know about everyone's feeling, but, you know, when and if zoning goes through, I don't think the site we're talking about and the area we're talking about is going to be anything other than commercial or industrial.
I feel the same way. That's my
You know, it was proposed before, and it was discussed before, and when the adult thing came up, that's where we said we were going to go with it, or one of the areas. That area is going to be industrial commercial when and if we ever get zoning. I mean, that's my opinion.
We don't know that.
We
don't know what the zoning
But we should use common sense and everything else. But you know what? That property, because it is bordering our town line, I mean, if we're looking at quality of life issues and affecting people, his site where we're planning, where he's planning on putting this, affects very minimal few. And I'm sorry for those few, but it does, for the good of the whole town, it affects very few in our town.
You've seen the pictures that Ewald's presented, right?
Yes, I have.
You see that?
This is the issue.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
This is the issue that the visual issue that we're talking about. You presented these. This is the visual issue we're talking about. The mounds of mulch, the trees, the mess. There's no avoiding mess when you're dealing with chipping wood stuff.
But that's what the trees are going to be in front of, right?
Yeah. Imagine two.
I understand.
White pine trees in front
Elliot.
Of that.
We have to discuss it.
I know.
Well, that's what we're doing.
Alex, stop talking. We're discussing
Don't get
this
so defensive.
The other thing you might want to consider is the fact that sooner or later, DEC, nobody's going to make every town, every contractor do this. There's not going to be no more burning. There's not going to be no more burying. It's going to have to be chipped, and it's going to have to be disposed of properly. We have the opportunity to put something in this community right now that will actually be a benefit to anybody in this business. I mean, if people taking stumps out of their property, anything like that.
Do
you want to have the hall across the river or Albany County, or would you rather have it here?
There's a real need for the type of services.
Right. Instead of, I mean,
how much more of a mess is it going to be than a couple hundred feet down the road?
I didn't say that.
I did.
It has to be discussed.
But it's a service.
It has no trees covering the front of it.
But it's a service that's needed, too. That's what we have to look at.
Okay, so is everybody of the opinion, or are we of the opinion then, that the buffer that's going to be placed by the applicants will adequately screen the view of the operation and the mess associated with it from public view?
It won't in the beginning. But it will eventually. I mean, the trees are going to be small. You're going to have two rows of it. It will eventually cover the whole deal. And what's more rural than logs? I mean...
And honestly, you could ask for a fence, which is expensive, but I think the trees in 5 years are going to look better than any fence up if we're looking for the integrity of the land. I think putting the trees up is going to look better.
And the trees don't have to be small.
That's true, too. I mean, as another opinion, that's true, too.
They're a pretty good height there already.
I mean,
you
look
on
the junkyard,
it's
supposed to be fenced.
Yeah.
All those trees got to come down
because
they're under a
power
line.
Oh, yeah.
And the other side of the
problem
is that... No
one has heard that from the power company. No, but we had that issue just happened with Big Top. Where we originally that screening was the screening that was on DOT's right-of-way, and they took it all down, and now it's wide open. So we can't leave the screening that's on the utility right-of-way as the screening and hope that it's going to stay there forever, because it might not. They could come down and take it down at any time.
Which is a shame.
So we have to have some sort of fallback screening that's on, Mr. Deshane's property here that's going to still...
How about like a 20-feet buffer zone underneath the power lines in 10, 15 feet?
Well, then that would...
That's where the screening's going to go, right?
That's where it's going now.
That's what you're proposing.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not underneath the power lines. So if they do come in and take clear underneath the power lines, he still has a buffer there.
And the other issue of the visual impact is the visual impact. Will there be any visual impact of the fact that you're changing the lay of the land? Will there be any overall visual impacts? Not necessarily of the quote-unquote ugliness of the operation, but just of the fact that there's going to be something
there.
Well,
the west
there side's
covered.
There was nothing there.
The west side's covered. It's a 40-foot cliff on the back side of the property. So the west side of the property is pretty much covered. Visually, if somebody takes a trek through the woods, which is anybody's right there on the land,
now,
it's the roadside, really.
Who did the site visit?
I was there.
Any... visual issues from the site visit, like a mountain views or anything like that. Any
there. He has no visuals. He has no scenery. No, he got Lars's building to look at. That's it.
You got that embankment back there. He's got no mountain view. He's not even fair anything there.
Okay. Anything more we need to discuss on the visual impact aspect of this? Anybody?
As far as the trees go underneath the power line, I don't know the last time Central Hudson clear-cut trees under a power line. They have tree topping companies that come through and trim them.
Right.
But you tell me where they would remove all those trees.
I don't foresee it.
I don't know.
I think it's adequate.
I don't
foresee that. But
with that in hand, with the additional buffer zone, I don't see the original one ever going anywhere other than them coming and pruning them.
Right.
Okay. Any more discussion on the visual impact? Any more comments? Okay. Then I will make a motion that we take a vote on the necessity of a visual impact study. The motion is that we do not need a visual impact study. Do I have a second?
I second.
All those in favor of not having a visual impact study?
Aye.
Alan?
Aye.
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 Dave?
Aye.
Dan? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, it's unanimous. No visual impact study will be required. Okay, so I think we're set as far as all those project issues go. The correspondence from DEC on outstanding violations, do you have anything on that, Elliot? Do we have outstanding violations on the land right now? Are you under any consent order? Nothing? What were those letters that Mrs. Schwarzenegger referred to in her public comment portion that Ewald had foiled from?
February 9th, January 12th, but she didn't say what they were for.
They were correspondences from DEC on what? To and from? Was there a violation issued on January 12th by DEC? And can you get a copy of that?
Well, you have all that.
We discussed that. Wasn't it satisfying?
I have no idea.
Yeah, at the one meeting, he said he was satisfied.
Okay, but can we get a copy of it to see that it's satisfied and put it in the record as such?
Yep.
That's a fair question.
Anything else?
She mentioned a letter from me.
I don't know.
The only thing I think is I sent them a copy of the SWIFT.
Was that on February 9th?
She said May 25th.
May 25th? Mm-hmm. You sent them a copy of the SWIFT?
Yeah.
Okay. It's really no dates of January 20th. February 9th.
The
SWIFT
was
June 5th.
June 5th.
No,
I'm sorry, May 5th.
There was a letter from me.
May 5th was, this is a DEC, this is an email from DEC.
I thought you said I sent him a letter.
It has May 5th, switch from for the chain property parcel by Crawford Associates, I'm sorry. And then May 25th, letter from Santos Associates concerning proposed business plan for site.
All right, If Elliot or Mr. Deshane provide us with that information, that's fine. If they don't, then during the public hearing, you can provide it to us as written comment.
Absolutely.
DEC, the concerned agency, if there's any outstanding issues.
Absolutely. They'll make them known to us.
Absolutely.
Okay, so it would appear as though when we finish our seeker look,
in the letter here, they have an archaeological sensitive site.
Who has it in the letter?
Mary Beth.
Mary Beth.
You're going to go through that, right?
May.
Okay. Yeah, okay, good. Go ahead. Okay. He's got that all addressed in his letter to us.
The first issue was the aerial photography and overlaying tax map, which I have a reduced copy in your letter, and as I discussed up during the public hearing portion of the meeting, if you look at the next map, it'll show the various property classification statistics, residential, commercial, municipal, vacant, and those parcels that are accessed from other roads.
Where are these classifications coming from?
They're coming, we got them from the real property tax office. And in the following table, it lists the tax roll classification code.
Okay.
Basically, the 200s are residential, and the 300s are vacant, and the 400s are commercial.
Okay.
I will point out to you that the sawmill adjacent to Mr. Deshane's property is listed as residential. And I took the liberty of changing that to commercial. Just
well,
I guess it's got cars on it too, isn't it? Cars for sale.
Yeah.
I don't think you can just go changing it. I mean, no. The fact of the matter is, he never came to us for site plan review either.
I'm just saying it's a commercial use.
Well,
I think that should say residential, and what that should be, he should be cited, and so we should go down there and do something about it.
Right.
Well, in terms of the character of the neighborhood.
I realize what you're saying, but see, once we say that it is commercial like that, that's basically giving him approval.
Well, I understand what you're saying. You could
I'm not saying you told him.
Elliot, if you want to make a point of the fact that it's no longer being used as residential, leave it as residential and then just make a note. This is being used as a commercial.
Well, I have a note on my table. Just so as not to hide anything from you.
Reported sawmill on property?
Yeah.
Right.
But whether it goes from 27% residential to 30% residential,
understood.
It's not going to defer my argument. I just didn't want you to see the 300 and see that I considered it commercial and not explain why I did that.
Okay.
The backup information for the archaeologically sensitive areas is attached to the memo. It's this picture right here, this map. Those big 5 mile diameter circles are potentially archaeologically sensitive areas. And they do not come near our site.
Okay.
And the following table is from the DEC website, which, besides showing the state regulated wetlands, would also show rare plant and rare animal habitats and significant natural communities, and they're not shown in our area. Not even the wetlands are a little close, but the rare plant and rare animals are going to appear on this cold shot.
Do you want to vote on the information on the archaeological sensitive areas? Before you get into the threatened endangered species and all that stuff. So instead of putting them together, why don't you just say, yeah, we looked at this.
That's one. He's just answering her concerns and her
letter.
Right,
we want to review that right now. I mean, when we get here, we'll try to get this so that he has less, he has to do.
Oh, okay.
We're already going over. So let's just
does anybody have any concerns or comments about the art? Sensitive archaeological.
We have nothing
on file from anybody from the public, any letters, any comments that would indicate that there is any archaeological, any concerns on file.
Archaeological.
Okay.
I think we should do that.
Okay, I'll second that. We've looked at the argument. Well, this is all going to be part of the seeker. Mm-hmm. This is all part of seeker.
Mm-hmm. What I hate to see is having we review this and go over this, and then it comes back in, and somebody brings up, well, there's this thing.
Right, but this whole review of archaeological stuff is all going to be part of the seeker thing
right.
Too. This is all premature to make any voting on this stuff. Go ahead, Ellie.
With regard to the general permit for stormwater discharges associated with industrial activity, I attached a letter from our consultant on that issue. And it was determined after speaking with a representative from DEC that we would not fall under the requirements of that permit. But the point I make in my letter is that getting that permit would not affect the site plan. There would be no structural changes to the site.
It's an operations permit.
Right. So
right.
In order to do what Mr. Deshane is planning on doing, he has to get registered as a solid waste management facility. And through that registration process, the DEC would have another opportunity to tell him whether he needs this permit or not.
They would actually police it too, so
since it doesn't affect the site plan, I mean, we're saying he doesn't need it. Whether he needs it or not, I'm saying
you're the solid waste thing.
I think he would need a registry, which is normal, but that also puts DEC in there too, which is to the town's benefit and the citizens around, because they're going to monitor this facility and everything else. So it's going to be a registered DEC facility. It's called the registry. So that actually is a plus for the community and the town as a whole.
Okay.
I mean, DEC can say no in the same breath. I mean, looking over town laws and everything else, DEC can come in and say, well, you know what? We don't think it's appropriate or come in and shut them down too. So I don't see the hurt in it.
And it's an operational permit. If the DEC feels he needs it, he's got to do it.
Yeah.
The only issue was that
they do require a permit.
Yeah. My only thought was if you're gonna dig up the land and do your SWIP, and you got to do something different to comply with the 02 permit, then you got to go back and dig it all up again.
Right.
You don't anticipate that.
Different monitoring requirements, you know, monthly reports that you wouldn't otherwise have to do, that type of thing.
Okay.
Yeah, but I agree, if the pension pond was going to double, you'd want to address it.
Right. Otherwise it'd be foolish.
Yeah. And Mary Beth had mentioned in an email, which I believe you were copied on, that she wasn't aware that we had submitted information on the proposed office in terms of floor plan and elevation view.
Right, which you had.
Right, and I'm just documenting that we did submit that information before, including information on the proposed office, the proposed maintenance building, and the proposed lighting.
Okay.
I think you had
mentioned here about talking to somebody from DEC.
Right.
Who was that? Brandy? No.
Christina
Falk.
Yes.
Yeah.
What did she say? Did she have anything? What was her thought? I mean, I don't even know who she is.
Well, she was recommended by George McCullough, who was the DEC gentleman who sent the original letter to Mr. Deshane. I don't know her title.
Jeff
DeCone, sorry. Classic person who works at the state regulatory agency, very non-committal. She said, you know, as an engineering firm, we use your best judgment based on the structural, the SIC code, which is the industry code which identifies the type of operation. And based on a reading of those SIC codes, if you can't feel that you will fall under the SIC codes that are required by the permit, then,
And you don't feel that you fall under it?
I'm relying on people who do this more often than not, and they do not feel that we fall under it.
Do you know what his code is?
Yeah.
Jones.
Yeah, and he doesn't fall, his grinding operation isn't mentioned or described in any of the SIC code. I mean, you know, SIC code for sawmills and those type of operations, but purely the grinding of stumps.
There's no SIC code.
Nothing that has a headline. And like I said, you know, at the end of the day, if DEC thinks differently, then he'll do it before he operates his business.
Sawmills and planing mills in general. Establishments primarily engaged in sawing rough lumber and timber from logs and bolts or resawing cants and flitches into lumber, including box lumber and softwood cut stock. Planing mills combined with sawmills and separately operated planing mills, which are engaged primarily in the producing surface lumber and standard workings and patterns of lumber. This industry includes establishments primarily engaged in sawing lath and railroad ties and in producing tobacco, hogshead stock, wood chips, and snow fence lath. And under the listing of things, we have here a number 3, chipper mills, and on the last one, wood chips produced at mill. And that's where that comes from. Now, in my opinion, it falls under the classification of whatever that, 2024-21, as a chipper mill.
My question to you is, do you require that permit for site plan approval?
No.
Okay. So
what I require, what we require is on the identification of other possible permits that might be needed as per the site plan review law.
Okay. Well, you want us to put it down as a possible permit?
I believe it to be a possible permit that might be required by the DEC. Irrespective of your experts, I think it possibly falls into the operation of a wood chipper.
Do we have appropriate address time?
Oh, they've read it.
I'm sure they have.
They differentiate the grinding operation from the chipper mill.
Well,
if I'm not mistaken, Mary John, you're more or less using like an auger type. You're not really chipping, you're grinding. You're using.
They have it listed as a solid waste wood processing site. When you check the box for the
right.
DEC permit,
understood.
It can be, they have a box for contaminated waste, clean wood waste, et cetera, et cetera.
But it's grinding, not chipping.
Yes, it's grinding, not chipping.
Now, what's the purpose it is? It's for air quality? I'm a little confused. Because it is a different process.
There's a permit that DEC requires that they get in order to operate a wood chipping.
Okay, so they're just applying the permit classification.
So I don't know what their overall operation is. It's 156 pages long, you know. But and it's not a construction permit, it's an operations permit, you know. So it really, like Mary Beth said, it doesn't affect us. The only thing it affects is whether or not we feel it needs to be listed as a possible permit that's required in our site plan law, because they've got a list of possible
permits. Do you know
permits.
That? Do you know
that's
that?
All.
Do I know what?
The answer to that question, if there is or what permit it is?
I know the permit that's in question.
Put that in there. What we were looking for.
You want to list it as possible, then, and that's the only consequence to Mr. Duchesne, then fine. We're not arguing with it.
Okay. I just don't, you know, I will certainly accept that we don't list it if Mary Beth comes back and looks at Crawford's and looks at that and says, you know, they're right, it's grinding, it's not chipping,
she
it's
can
not
have
going.
The same conversation with Christine.
Plus, like I said, if they change the classification of the DEC.
What is the difference between grinding and chipping?
Grinding,
why
is beats
it? Yeah,
exactly. That's the difference.
So what do you do with the sawdust? Why would you make sawdust?
I wouldn't make sawdust. That would come from a mill. You have sawdust from a mill when you're playing in boards. I won't have that material. Like mulch, material grindings. That's what I'll
have. In other words, it's just basically tearing and shredding.
It's shredding it more, right.
It's not making like a wood chip. It takes a little fine particles. The grinding just rips it apart.
We're mills that are, they're utilizing their dust for horse bedding. They're selling it at a market. and marketing that product.
Yeah, I thought you were, this was going to be chips for landscaping.
No, 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 it's grindings. No sawdust as well.
The process is different. You still end up with basically, they look like chips, but the process is different.
Okay. It shreds it. It looks like a piece of bread when you shred a piece of bread. I mean, you do all different sizes.
Okay. I'll accept that. I think we can accept that. That the process is different, and that it's grinding and not chipping, and it's covered under a different part in the DEC. I think we can. I think we've covered that enough to.
We could say the possible permit that may be required.
Well, we know the possible permit is going to be the waste management permit, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Good. What else?
That was all that I took from our memo and email. So.
Okay. Anything else anybody has that we think we need to cover before? The only thing out, in other words, what we're saying here is basically the only thing outstanding when we leave here tonight is the determination of significance with SECR. Once we make that determination, then if it's a negative declaration, then the preliminary application will be deemed complete. And then we would start our review of it, or we would have our public hearing and start our review of it.
Which we'll have to go through.
What?
Which we're kind of...
Which we laid a lot of the groundwork for.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, where's the one in the file? This thing.
Right here.
Still. Resolution. Okay. First off, I think what we need to do is we need to backtrack a little bit, because originally what we had done, unfortunately what I did, was declare ourselves lead agency. And that was premature. So I'm going to make a motion that we rescind our declaration of lead agency in this matter. Do I have a second on that motion?
I'll second.
Okay, wait a second. Those in favor of rescinding the initial determination of... that we were lead agency, signified by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion is carried. We are no longer determined to be lead agency. However, now we have this declaration with intent to declare ourselves as lead agency. So, this is a resolution. Whereas the Town of Carroll Planning Board has received an application for site plan review submitted by Santo Associates on behalf of John R. Deshane. And whereas Mr. Deshane seeks site plan approval for construction of site improvements on a 15.871 acre parcel identified as tax map number 118.00-2-13 to accommodate truck parking for existing logging operation as well as infrastructure for future truck maintenance and washing and wood processing on property owned by Mr. Deshane, located at 6715 New York State Route 32, approximately plus or minus 1,000 feet from Ross Ruin Road. And whereas the site plan review by the Town of Planning Board is required, as well as permits and approvals from other agencies, including a highway work permit from the New York State Department of Transportation, General Municipal Law Section 239M referral to the Greene County Planning Board, and a Speedy's general permit for construction stormwater discharges, and potentially a multi-sector permit issued by the New York State Environmental Conservation. And whereas the site plan application incorporates, I'm going to strike that multi-sector permit by the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation. And whereas the site plan application incorporates part one of the full environmental assessment and the project description, including a site plan and other materials, and whereas review of 6 NYCIR part 617.4 indicates that the proposed project is an unlisted action under SECR, now involving more than one agency, and a coordinated agency review may be conducted. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Town of Carroll Planning Board hereby declares intent to act as lead agency for SECR review of the Deshane project. That the Town Planning Board will circulate this resolution of intent together with part one of the long form EAF, project description, and the site location map to the identified, involved, and or interested agencies to solicit agreement with the board's declaration of intent to act as lead agency for the seeker review. If no other involved agency responds in writing with a desire to act as lead agency for the review of the environmental impacts of the Desane project within 30 days of the date circulation letters are mailed, the Town of Carroll Planning Board will assume lead agency responsibilities and conduct the seeker review. This resolution shall take effect immediately. Okay, do I have anybody offering this resolution for
discussion?
Vote?
Why did you strike the multi-sector permit?
Because he doesn't need the multi-sector permit. He needs the permit involving the grinding operation.
I'm sure Mary Beth put it in there for a reason.
Yeah, it just says potentially.
You want to keep it in there?
We might as well keep it in there because we don't need it. We don't need it, okay? Yeah. But she put it in there for a reason, okay?
That's a good point.
Another one.
Makes
sense. Now I'll make the motion.
So we'll leave it as is then. Okay. Okay, anybody offer the resolution?
I did.
Oh, Ed, okay. Have a second?
I'll second it.
Tony? Tony? Yes or no?
Yes.
Dan? Yes?
Yep.
Frank?
Yep.
Yeah.
Alan?
Yes.
Okay. You don't get to vote because we're all here.
We're all getting along.
Okay.
I hope you like Douglas.
All right. Like I said, I'm going to have that call that special meeting for September 14th. That should be enough time. It's a Monday, 7 o'clock right here. I see no reason for you to be. We've got nothing to go over. The seeker's not, the replies aren't going to be done. 30 days is going to be passed, and there's no reason for you to be here at the first meeting in September. We're done with this.
I'm not sure when the Zoning Commission meeting is in September, and they usually use this room. Not that they can't use another room, but just we should coordinate so that they don't.
I had called Carrie, and she said it was open.
Okay. All right. I just don't want
to. I called her this afternoon just to check on that.
All right, as long as it's just not two bunches of people.
Okay. September 14th. Okay.
Thank you.
We're done. If anything comes up, Elliot, and you want to come to the earlier September meeting, you know, that's not a problem.
I will miss you guys.
Have a nice evening. Thank you.
And that's the original. No. We denied everything with Clear Channel.
Well, I believe that this guy told my secretary that music, specifically music, is what
he's talking
about.
No.
And they just wrote a check for $7,000.
No. They weren't even here for their public hearing last month.
I didn't remember them being here.
No, they didn't even show up. Supui? Clear Channel?
They didn't pay us either.
No, they don't get to do anything. No, I don't know what they're trying to pull.
Well,
that's what Chuck told me today, that they called you.
No, they never spoke to me. Not one. That's an out and out lie.
What's that?
The landowners were here last month saying that the contracts were expired, that they wanted nothing to do with these people.
Two out of three of the landowners
they had no rights with nothing. And they weren't here for the public hearing, so they have no right to proceed with anything.
There's the lease agreements in here if you want to issue
them. They've got to give that to us. They have no approval for anything.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
There was quite a contention.
I remember them being here
the
first month, but not.
They weren't here.
They didn't show up. We had a public hearing scheduled, and they never showed up. And they never paid for anything. So.
You want this check?
No.
Hey, can we cash that? We can, right?
Bob?
I'm off duty right now.
Not on this board, I'm not.
Yeah, right. Actually,
can you imagine?
Actually, that would be.
Huh?
No, no. You still have power to.
Put on a whole stock.
No.
Actually, Dan still has power.
That's something Chris got to deal with. That's a town issue. What Chris
may
do?
Maybe sound
with
like a fire department.
Cheap Springs issue. Okay. Do you have anything new?
Well, the only thing was this, which actually was as far as the disturbance goes, it's way, way, way less than it. That was pretty much the only thing I recall.
For the SWIP, yes.
Yeah. Did
I what? Are these your minutes? I don't know.
Yes.
Oh, there you go, then. we have outstanding here. Bob, we had some issues last time. Letter F changed to State 32.
Oh, yes.
What was that? Can you refresh us with that?
It was just that I had scored it wrong. I put it county.
Oh. Need letter from engineer stating septic works.
I gave you that. I have more, I believe, but I gave you that earlier.
You gave us that when?
Yes. Last time.
At the last meeting.
I wouldn't take it. Had extra land. Hope I have with me.
Was it attached to anything like the general?
Was it attached to anything?
No, it was a separate letter. Actually, you surprised that it's so organized.
Now you can see the real me.
Oh, wait, wait. Yes.
You have it?
My mistake. You got it. It's here. I don't know why, but we brought it up here at the last meeting.
Okay, good. Letter V. Letter V. No types of plants, not time limit. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the planting schedule meant not when you plant, but what you plant.
Okay. All right. It's going to sound stupid, but what do you want to plant?
Plant whatever you want to plant.
Okay. Well, honestly, actually, I do have something related to that. Yeah, well, no, not maybe a different business.
It's beer. Sorry, so hard.
Well, basically what I was planning, I was just pulling these out and just showed you that way.
What?
No.
Basically,
it's not on here, but I have it and I can bring it in before the meeting is done. Thank you so much. Because we're going to be coming in this way with handicap parking, okay? This whole area here is going to be planted. It's going to be planted in more of a Japanese feel, most like the Oriental garden where you see it in the stone work. We're going to get some upright stones that represent mountains. I need to get a little more insight as to just how this is done. A Japanese maple set into the center of the area. I played with the idea of water, but I've done it at home, and you don't want to see me do it here.
I've seen your house.
Oh, if you have, then you don't want to talk to me about planting. Up the side here, we'll go up the side of the building as well, because that's going to be the south side, basically. So that'll get a planting here, and then and there'll be a walkway from the other side. Beyond that, it'll just primarily be lawn out here, with the exception of anything we do to just face more lining of the parking lot, more defining of it. Because now with this lawn, it's going to have to define it.
What are you putting for the parking lot, gravel or blacktop?
Well, it's gravel right now, and it's a good hard packed gravel, so we'll probably stick with that for the time being.
Item four.
Yeah. The issue about the building, the existing building,
mm-hmm.
which you had said I had to make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't.
You have to.
I have to. Well, here's what I have to do. I want to keep the building, depending on the structural integrity of it. Once we bring the rest of it down, because let's face it, once you bring the original building, but not the original, but all the add-ons down, it really kind of depends on where these things stand. And the likelihood, if I have to make a flat-out decision, is that I'll get done deal.
I don't know. Go ahead. Just go ahead. Give me what you got.
I want to keep the building. All right. I'm getting it from both sides at Dojo, too. I've got some saying. Others say, yeah, it's not a bad idea. What I'm going to do is the same exact siding, the same everything. We're going to have that brought in as well at the same time we do the building. So it's going to look identical to the building as far as siding, roofing, and so forth.
What are you doing?
Okay.
We don't know yet.
What?
That's fair.
He doesn't want to tear down the existing building. He wants to tear up all the little additions that he gets to the main structure. And if it's structurally sound, he wants to be able to keep it and renovate it.
Right.
Well, don't we need to know that for the site plan?
That's the issue.
That's the issue.
I mean, an hour ago you said
I got one tonight. Thank you.
Control burn. I'm getting. You know what?
Well,
at this point,
an hour ago you said it was
in disrepair.
Right.
And now you're saying
right.
that
may
want to keep it.
No. Well, here's the thing. This has a peaked roof to it.
It's historical.
Well, that.
Whose eyes?
Yeah.
I took my wife on my first date. I took my wife on my first date with her.
Yeah, don't worry. They used the bricks in the front of the Cumberland's farms too.
Yeah,
historical.
Can we do this?
I'm not going there.
Can we do this?
Bricks.
First of all, I didn't know.
Listen. Can we do this? Can we make this a what do they call that? Phased construction project, where the first phase of the project will be the tearing down of the additions of the old building and make a determination on the structural integrity of the first building, and approve that phase of the construction, and then he comes back with a finalized plan of whether the rest of the building stays or goes. The problem is you want to put the building in the back first.
Yeah. I have that
ugly building in front of it.
Well, that would be a demolition permit, but prior to the site plan. He wants to put the new building up before the decisions.
We got to have as little downtime as possible.
Right. I understand.
I understand. You're trying to keep your business running, but is that building eventually going to come down after the new building's up?
Yes. Or is it going to stay up?
The whole building was never going to stay up.
Because of the issues, and because I'm getting a future site, I'll make a definitive decision. We'll take everything down. It was one of these things I was just kind of hanging on to a thread. It was not historical. It was not anything aside from the fact that it's 792 square feet, that if one renovated it, could be the possible rental area. But you know what? It's not worth it.
Chances are it's not. It was an ice cream stand.
Well, yeah. I mean, but it could be renovated to anything.
You'd have to come back and go through this whole process
again.
If you were going to use it for anything other than what you're using it for now, if somebody...
control burn?
Nobody.
If you wanted to rent it to somebody for some other use, you'd have to come back before us again.
What if you rented it to the dance club? And here we are again.
Yeah.
I'm funny.
So,
No. I understand. No, it's not that. I'm not married to it, okay? So.
Well, that might make it easier.
That might be easier.
That's funny, Danny.
I was married to it. That might knock it down, though.
Wow, a little comic relief here.
No, it's okay.
Right, Alan?
Anybody else?
Yeah, push them in right there.
Whatever you do for it.
That was way out.
You're saying you're going to demolish the building. Okay. So what we need,
this was
this white out.
What we need is, you can't white out. You have to have.
I'm kidding.
What we need is an updated map then with building removed. Existing building to, or a note that says existing building to be removed.
Entire existing building.
You don't even have it. Just as long as it says existing building, it's just assumed that it's the entire building. Okay.
We can bring it down to Town Park and put it by the old Carol Diner.
That's a good idea. Actually, I was thinking of putting a bunch of old diamonds.
What other issues do we have? Anything?
No.
All right. Let's go through the seeker form. Does the action exceed any type 1 threshold? No, it does not. Oh, what was the square footage of disturbance that you calculated here?
It's about 11,000 left to equal neighbors. It says it there. I have it off the top of my head.
Disturbance is 32,000 square feet. And you've got the whole, okay.
Yeah,
that looks good. The whole thing. So you've got, you're shy of by 11,000. Okay. So there he goes with it. Required. Will the action receive coordinated review? We got to send it to the county. No, they can't supersede it. Could the action result in any adverse effects associated with the following? Existing air quality, surface or groundwater quality, existing traffic patterns, noise levels, solid waste production or disposal, potential erosion, drainage, or flooding problems. Any comment on that?
No. I don't foresee any.
Any adverse effects? No.
Ed, do you?
Under.
I'm under that impression that's how they approve it.
The whole thing. I wasn't here. Did you propose this to the last
one? No, actually, these are just, I took these and.
Your choice.
Is the beehive here?
Aesthetic agriculture, archaeological, historic, or other natural cultural resources of community neighborhood character. Anything there?
No historical.
Vegetation or fauna.
I checked with the Azalea on that.
Do you have a picture of the building you're proposing?
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Yes. A van?
The spur from the Castle Map the River went to you or something.
It doesn't appear on the state. Yeah, but it doesn't appear on the state's historic register, the register of historic places. There's nothing. Only Susquehanna Turnpike.
Don't start next. People be dropping boats like it's in Leeds Flats.
Vegetation, fauna, fish, or shellfish. Endangered species, you know. A community's existing plans or goals is officially documented. No.
Yeah, I have to take
it. He has one.
I
have
it, but I didn't see it.
No, he has them. Yeah. He's got two. He has about two of them.
I got a
growth, subsequent development, or related activities likely to be used by the proposed action.
Beautiful.
No.
Actually,
the long-term, short-term,
anything
else you can think of?
That was for the
Oh, here it is. I still got the other one. It was a spray.
We have no critical environmental areas in the county.
I don't see any impact.
Okay, we've gone through the seeker here.
Got it, or you want this one?
I don't see any adverse impacts associated with any of these items. There's no critical environmental impact area. There's actually none in the county. And we don't believe there's likely to be any controversy related to environmental impacts, adverse environmental impact. So based on our answers here, I would move that we accept this as a negative declaration under seeker. Do I have a second?
I second it.
All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Regarding the American Dojo project, the public hearing has remained open until we completed our seeker findings. We found a negative declaration, which means we don't believe there's any negative environmental impacts associated with the Dojo project. Before I close the public hearing, does anybody have any comment regarding the Dojo project? Okay, then the public hearing is now closed regarding the Dojo project. All right. With respect to your thing here, I think we can vote on a preliminary approval. We can't give you final approval though because the maps have to be updated. You have to remove that. Does anybody have any other issues?
Since he is tearing the building down, but he needs to use it, is there? I don't know what this guy's. Is there any provisions that we need to put in his site plan about taking the old building down after the fact? You know.
I think that's in his application.
Okay, so that's
probably the whole thing. Yeah, that whole timeline time in his application.
Yeah, is there a timeline that favors him and everybody else?
Well, so he's a building. Well, it'd be a building. The building department will issue him a CO before he tears down the other one because you can't have
two buildings.
Okay, so we got that covered. So
what we need is the updated picture. We'll need the construction schedule and estimated cost. Did you give us the estimated cost and the construction schedule?
Yes. The construction schedule per se, no.
Like you're anticipated when you're going to start, when you're going to finish, all that?
Right. I have what I'll be doing now, actually, because I've finally got most of my figures together. I'm going to go to the bank and start as soon as possible.
Okay.
As soon as they get the plans drawn up. Of course, until the point gets there for 10%, they're not going to grow anything else.
Okay.
And then once that's done, there we go. He said something about 4 to 6 weeks, that might do.
That's probably going to take that long, because look at how long it's taken for them to get going over there. And,
I've been watching every day I go by and go, oh, come on, it's not going to be that.
Okay, so you got to update those maps. You got to get the construction schedule, the necessary construction schedule to us. We have to send this to the county for its for comment. Okay. Because it's construction is taking place on a state highway, so we have to send this to the county for their comment. We have to refer it.
One question I was thinking about with the two buildings. You said that's residences. As far as having two residences, we probably should have something on the map saying that it has to be torn down in a certain amount of time after the other building become occupied. Because after the other day, we're kind of turning how you can twist things around.
On his map, when he says to be removed at the completion of the...
I think something should be there.
After he occupied the new building.
Yeah, so many days after a sale.
After he occupied
60, 90 days, something fair.
Excuse me? Give him a year, because it might be in the middle of winter.
I'm not opposed. There's some kind of deadline. If somebody says, comes back, hey, what's going on here? Something in there.
Yeah.
Is a year too long?
Might be.
You think a year's too long? How about 9 months? 6 months?
6 months?
6 months?
6 months?
6 months? 6 months?
They put you two more seasons if you have to do it. Yeah,
okay, 6 months is good.
Of CO.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm just looking at financial reports.
We could give them a temporary.
No, I appreciate that.
Do you think we can vote on
that? Taxes are going to go up, so
we have to wait for the county to come back.
Oh, yeah.
I think we should wait for the county to come back. We'll do it all next meeting.
But they're not going to have 30. Well, assuming they reply with it.
Are you under a schedule with what do you call the bills?
He's trying to get it before winter.
You're not yet.
That's reason, yes, but I don't have anything yet.
Have you asked them about this schedule?
The only schedule I have, they seem to think that it acts pretty quick. I mean, when I gave them the original orders, we had to talk within 2 months.
Okay, so you said it's 3 months out. Just for your benefit, you might want to... Try to.
So we got to refer this
closer to a date.
No, not have to meet this meeting again, but we have to do that today.
So we'll see you next month. Hopefully we can get everything squared away by then. I mean, I'll talk to Ed. I mean, he'll get the stuff in plenty of time to do the review upcoming. So hopefully I'll get on him for the reply for next. Even though it's less than 30 days, I'll see what he's got.
Obviously, you have those members on the board, right? So we're always in good shape.
Good to go. Okay. Dragonfly.
Thank you.
They review it 2 weeks.